So you never became a soccer star. But you could still show out during the FIFA World Cup 2022 with cool soccer swag from Frito-Lay, the official USA snack of the FIFA World Cup 2022. Look for the Golden World Soccer Ball, then pass the ball to fellow fans for a chance to score custom swag. Scan the QR code on specially marked bags of Lay's, Cheetos, or Doritos, or visit Frito-LayScore.com to join the Pass the Ball Challenge.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of 50 USDC. 18 plus. See rules at Frito-LayScore.com.
Our 2022 iHeartRadio Jingle Ball. Presented by Capital One.
Y'all ready to have some fun?
Starring Dua Lipa.
Lizzo.
It's about damn time.
Charlie Puth.
The Backstreet Boys.
The Kid LAROI.
AJR.
And more.
You know what time it is.
The biggest holiday party of the year.
Jingle Ball!
Our iHeartRadio Jingle Ball. Coming live from New York to the CW app and CWTV.com on December 9th.
When the world gets in the way of your music, try the new Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. Next-gen earbuds uniquely tuned to the shape of your ears. They use exclusive Bose technology that personalizes the audio performance to fit you, delivering the world's best noise cancellation and powerfully immersive sound, so you can hear and feel every detail of the music you love. Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. Sound shaped to you. To learn more, visit Bose.com.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories, the show where America is the star and the American people. To search for the Our American Stories podcast, go to the iHeartRadio app, to Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We recently had the pleasure of bringing World War II veteran John DeFore, 103 years old, into our studio with his entire family and listen to his incredible life story. This next story is all him, sharing a bit about his early life and the unlikely events that led him to serving in the Army. Here's John.
Sidon, Mississippi, when I grew up, had 250 people, and it's cotton country. I started to Greenwood High School, and I was taking Latin, and I asked a question. And the teacher, and this may have been my imagination, because I didn't have a very strong self-image, but the teacher kind of made fun of my question. And so I just walked out of the class. I think I was a little arrogant, maybe more than a little. But anyway, I walked out, and I walked out of the building and turned and go down the side of the building. And when I was walking down by the classroom, I noticed a brick in the flower bed. So I just picked it up and threw it through the window. And then the school decided that I wasn't a very good fit. So I didn't even know what expelled meant, but I learned. So I had to go home and tell my school teacher mother that they no longer wanted me in Greenwood High School. And so she said, well, thank God there was no communication between schools. You can go to Itabena High School. Itabena was about 15 miles in another direction. They ran a school bus there too. Well, my second day, I got in a fight with the school bus driver, and they were very narrow-minded, and they decided that maybe I did not need to be a student there either. My mother, she was a good woman, but my mother had problems. And I left home, and I walked up the railroad and slept under a bridge. I got a job on a construction crew, and I got a room in a boarding home. And I worked there all summer, and September came, and the foreman said, well, John, I guess you'll be leaving now because school's starting. And I said, no, I'm not going back to school anymore. I've quit. And he looked at me and said, "Why?" I said, "I don't like school." And he said, "You're a damn fool." And he said, "You're fired. Get off of this job." And so I had heard about Moorhead. There was a agricultural high school and junior college there. So I hitchhiked to Moorhead, and I went in and I found the president's office. And I told him I didn't have any money, but I wanted to go to school there. It was boarding school also. And so he said, "Well, will you work?" And I said, "Of course." And he said, "Okay." So I had a roommate named Robert, and Robert and I got to be good friends. Every weekend, we would slip off campus and get drunk. And Robert and I decided we didn't need any more education, so we went to work on a construction job. We would work all week and go to the bars or wherever. And September the 2nd or 3rd, we went to a little bar and got drunk. And I came home about 2 o'clock. And the next morning, the lady in the boarding house came in and woke me up and said, "Robert killed himself last night." And I could not believe it, because he and I had played football and run track together for years, and he never mentioned suicide. And I was a pallbearer. And they put the casket in a pine box, and everybody left, and there were two men throwing dirt in on top of this pine box. And I stood there, and I watched those clods bouncing off the top of that pine box. And you're not going to believe this, but I don't expect you to. But I heard a voice and have never forgotten. "John DeFore, you keep living the way you're living." And a few months, some clods just like this will be bouncing off your casket, and the world will never know or care that you have lived. And there was no mistaking. Now, it was God or somebody looking after me. I went to my boarding house, and I got some clothes, and I went straight out on the highway and hitchhiked to Jackson, Mississippi. I had heard that Mississippi College was a Christian college and that everybody there was a Christian. It was a perfect place in my mind. I was scared to death that I was going to kill myself just like Robert. And after I heard that voice, I knew it was time for me to change.
And you're listening to John DeFore tell his story. And my goodness, what a story it is, growing up in a town with 250 people, getting thrown out of school not once but twice. And so he decides to hitchhike to a Christian college, Mississippi College. When we come back, more of the story of World War II veteran John DeFore here on Our American Stories. Lee Habib here, the host of Our American Stories. Every day on this show, we're bringing inspiring stories from across this great country. Stories from our big cities and small towns. But we truly can't do this show without you. Our stories are free to listen to, but they're not free to make. If you love what you hear, go to OurAmericanStories.com and click the donate button. Give a little, give a lot. Go to OurAmericanStories.com and give.
2022 iHeartRadio Jingle Ball, presented by Capital One.
Y'all ready to have some fun?
Starring Dua Lipa,
Lizzo,
Charlie Puth,
The Backstreet Boys,
The Kid LAROI,
AJR,
and more.
The biggest holiday party of the year.
Jingle Ball!
Our iHeartRadio Jingle Ball, coming live from New York to the CW app and CWTV.com on December 9th.
When the world gets in the way of your music, try the new Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. Next-gen earbuds uniquely tuned to the shape of your ears. They use exclusive Bose technology that personalizes the audio performance to fit you, delivering the world's best noise cancellation and powerfully immersive sound, so you can hear and feel every detail of the music you love. Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. Sound shaped to you. To learn more, visit Bose.com.
Hey, you guys, this is Tori and Jenny with the 9021 OMG podcast. We have such a special episode brought to you by Nurtec ODT. We recorded it at iHeartRadio's 10th pole event, Wango Tango. Did you know that Nurtec ODT Remegipant 75 milligrams can help migraine sufferers still attend such an exciting event like Wango Tango? It's true. I had one that night and I took my Nurtec ODT and I was present and had an amazing time. Here's a little glimpse of our conversation with some of our closest friends. This episode was brought to you by Nurtec ODT Remegipant 75 milligrams. Life with migraine attacks can mean missing out on big moments with friends and family. But thankfully, Nurtec ODT Remegipant 75 milligrams is the only medication that is proven to treat a migraine attack and prevent episodic migraines in adults. So lively events like Wango Tango don't have to be missed.
And we return to Our American Stories and to John DeFore, who's sharing his life story and ultimately how he ended up in the Army during World War II. When we last left off, he just decided to go to Mississippi College, a Christian college in Clinton, Mississippi, not far down the road from where we broadcast, in Oxford, Mississippi, which is in the northern part of the state, about an hour south of Memphis. Let's pick up with John where we last left off.
I wasn't a Christian, of course, when I went there, but I studied like crazy. And after about 2 years, the professor offered me a scholarship for the next semester. And I had a lady in one of my classes, and she was an excellent student, and she kept talking to me about becoming a Christian, and I got really irritated, and when the semester ended, I gave her a D on the course, and she was a straight-A student, and the professor, who had sort of become a friend, said, "Why did you do that?" And I said, "Because I don't like her." And he said, "Well, you can't give her a bad grade because..." And so I changed it, of course. But anyway, she was very kind. She didn't tell the professor that I'd given her D. He found it himself. She didn't report me. And she talked to me about God. The God that I had learned about was my mother's God, and that would be the antithesis of everything that I would describe to any form of divinity. And so after she kept talking to me about Jesus Christ, I got a whole new message from this woman. And so I became a Christian. I was talking one day to this guy on campus, and he said, "John, don't you play a musical instrument?" And I said, "Yeah, I play three or four." And he said, "Well, the band here pays $1 a rehearsal. Why don't you join?" And I thought, boy, $4 a month. And so I didn't ask any questions. I just signed up. But what I didn't know, was it was a National Guard band. And that's why I was paid. And so I did fine in the band. And about 6 months after I joined, I came one day and the band director said, "Gentlemen, I have an announcement. We are being inducted into the Federal Service." And I didn't know what inducted meant. I found out. But, But after the band rehearsal, I went up and I said, Mr. Mackey, I'm very sorry, but I can't go. He said, we're going to Camp Landing, Florida for a year's training, and then you'll come back here. I said, I'm very sorry, but I can't go. I have other plans. And he said, young man, you're in the Army. I said, well, I'm not going. He said, if you do not show up, do you know what we call that in the Army? And I said, no. He said, we call it desertion. He said, you know what we do with deserters? I said, no. He said, we shoot them. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound very good. So I went for 1 year's training. 7 years later, I finished that 1 year's training because pretty soon Pearl Harbor came. And after that, man, that was all she wrote, you know. And I had some previous military training. I went in as a private first class, and I saw a notice that they were allowing people with previous military training to take an examination to see if they could qualify for a commission as an officer. And so I took the examination with 250 people, and I came out at the top of the class. And I was one day working in the latrine with my friend, washing shirts one day, and someone said, you got a message in the orderly tent. And so I went to the orderly tent, and they said, you wanted a division headquarters. Well, division headquarters, that's like Washington, D.C. I mean, like it used to be. And so I went to division headquarters, and I met one of the finest human beings I ever met in my life. His name was General, Major General John C. Persons. And he said, Private DeFore, you are now a second lieutenant. And he saluted me. He pinned my bars on. And man, 1 minute I'm private first class, and 1 minute with those bars, I'm a second lieutenant. And so I was assigned to another unit, and I was in a rifle company. And that was the beginning, really, of my military career. When I became a Christian at Mississippi College, and then I realized I was in the Army, I knew I could never kill a human being. I just knew I could not kill a human being. And I'm teaching these guys about trench warfare and particularly about bayonet practice. But even while I was doing all that, I knew I couldn't kill a man if I had to. And I thought about it. But then I go to New Guinea, and I'm still processing in the mind. And one day I was on patrol, and there were these long, tall grasses that grew in the jungle called kinai grass. And wherever there was a water hole, the grass grew around it. And so one day we were on a patrol, and we ran into a wadi, and I stopped and lay down on the edge, and we hadn't had no water all day, so I was drinking out of this pond. It wasn't very clean, but I took some in my hand, and I was drinking. And I lay there just a minute, and all of a sudden I hear noise, and a Jap comes breaking through the grass, and he lies down there and starts drinking water. And all of a sudden, I saw him see me. He turned his head, and he saw me, and then he whirled his rifle around and pointed it at me. And I had a Tommy gun, and I shot him six times. And I got back to my safe area that night. We was all sleeping in holes. And I started getting my hole, and I thought, well, John, you're a murderer. Today you killed a human being. But that's just kind of the way it is. When we were in these tents, right where we'd come off the ship, my neighboring unit got a call that the 1st Battalion was going on a combat mission up the coast. They'd located a Japanese airstrip, and they were kind of plotting our course and dropping bombs on artillery. So this time, we hadn't seen any combat. Well, man, I didn't know how I was going to function when I was being shot at. So I just signed up to go as an observer with this outfit.
And you've been listening to John DeFore share his story. And what a story indeed. He gets back to Mississippi College, joins the band. Turns out it was a National Guard band. He finds out he has to go and train. He goes for a one-year stint, ends up staying seven, and finds himself in the Pacific Islands, face-to-face with his own death. When we come back, more of this remarkable life story. World War II veteran John DeFore's story continues here on Our American Stories.
Our 2022 iHeartRadio Jingle Ball, presented by Capital One.
Y'all ready to have some fun?
Starring Dua Lipa,
Lizzo,
Charlie Puth,
The Backstreet Boys,
The Kid LAROI,
AJR,
and more.
The biggest holiday party of the year.
Jingle Ball!
Our iHeartRadio Jingle Ball. Coming live from New York to the CW app and CWTV.com on December 9th.
When the world gets in the way of your music, try the new Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. Next-gen earbuds uniquely tuned to the shape of your ears. They use exclusive Bose technology that personalizes the audio performance to fit you, delivering the world's best noise cancellation and powerfully immersive sound, so you can hear and feel every detail of the music you love. Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. Sound shaped to you. To learn more, visit Bose.com.
Hey, you guys, this is Tori and Jenny with the 9021 OMG podcast. We have such a special episode brought to you by Nurtec ODT. We recorded it at iHeartRadio's 10th pole event, Wango Tango. Did you know that Nurtec ODT Rimegepant 75 milligrams can help migraine sufferers still attend such an exciting event like Wango Tango? It's true. I had one that night, and I took my Nurtec ODT, and I was present and had an amazing time. Here's a little glimpse of our conversation with some of our closest friends. This episode was brought to you by Nurtec ODT Rimegepant 75 milligrams. Life with migraine attacks can mean missing out on big moments with friends and family. But thankfully, Nurtec ODT Rimegepant 75 milligrams is the only medication that is proven to treat a migraine attack and prevent episodic migraines in adults. So lively events like Wango Tango don't have to be missed.
And we're back with Our American Stories and with John DeFore. When we last left off, he just signed up to be an observer on a combat mission fighting the Japanese. Let's pick back up where we just left off.
There was another officer who was going as an observer, and a chaplain and a medic all going as observers. And we went up kind of along the beach, half in the beach and half in the jungle, and it wasn't really a bad trip up. But what we didn't know was, see, we're brand new. We didn't know. These Jap troops had been there for 3 years, and they are seasoned battle troops, and we are rank rookies. And when they found out we were coming up the beach, they just vacated the airstrip and moved back out on the backside opposite from the way we were approaching. and built up a whole fire line, and we came to this airstrip, and it looked like it was deserted. And stupid Yankees would go in, and everybody's just having a good time, walking around, playing, looking at things. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. They had snipers in the trees. They had men dug in the middle of the area with tops made to their foxholes. And they were popping out of these foxholes. And all of a sudden, every way you looked, somebody was shooting. And there was a heavy machine gun that was about 50 yards in front of me, and I hit the ground, and I was absolutely panic-stricken, and my blood turned to ice water, and I could not move. I was lying on the ground with my arms outstretched, but I couldn't move, and I thought, I've got to do something. I've got to move, and I was terrified. I couldn't think. I couldn't move. But I could feel I could feel the bullets when that guy would make a sweep. I could feel the bullets cutting the grass, and the grass was falling down my neck. And all of a sudden, someone said, "Hey, Long John." And I turned and looked, and here's a Catholic chaplain over there. He said, "You want a vanilla wafer? I promise you." And he's digging in his fatigue jacket, and he pulled out a box of vanilla wafers and slides them over through the grass and said, "My mother sent them to me. Best vanilla wafers you'll ever eat. Help yourself." And I thought, well, I'll be damned. And I took a couple of vanilla wafers, and my ice water all turned to blood, and my panic and fear vanished. And I handed him the box back, and then I kind of took charge and got a few men together, and we got together a little firefight and got out of that trap. But the vanilla wafers saved my life. And this is a great guy. He was killed a couple of weeks later trying to rescue a man who was stranded out and wounded. The Japs had a habit. They would get a man wounded and they put machine guns covering to take care of the people who came to pick him up, you know. And they'd been given orders nobody could rescue him. And Chaplain O'Connell went out. I wasn't there. He was with another outfit. But I talked to some of the medics who picked up the body. And they said he had a box of vanilla wafers in his pocket when they found him. And if you ever come to my office, look in the bottom right-hand drawer of my desk. I got a box right there, right now. I've kept them since the war. I don't like to tell this, but the Japs were smarter soldiers. They had one contingent that we hit one time, called them Imperial Marines. They were all over 6 feet tall and had all been trained in jungle fighting. They all carried samurai swords, and they were great swordsmen. But one day, just by accident, I ran into a bunch of Japs, and we killed all of them but one. And this was prior to the operation to the landing on Luzon, where MacArthur went back to. And we needed all the prisons we could get to try to get information about the placement of troops on Luzon. And we were marching him back to our area. And a PT boat was supposed to come along the beach and pick up these prisoners of war, but it got dark and the PT boat couldn't come, and so we had to keep them overnight. And my man, this was late in the war, and nobody wanted to keep him because they were not safe to be around, prisoners or not. I had heard this, thank God, that this Japanese officer had been captured and he was being brought back to the lines, and he spoke perfect English, and he begged the capturing officer not to kill him. He said, "I have a wife and I have children, and this war will soon be over for me and for you, and you will go home and do anything with me, but please don't kill me. I don't want to die." And this officer gave in, and then he let his guard down, and this man who had begged for his life took this guy's pistol and killed him. Well, this tall guy that I had was talking to me the same way. He said, "Do anything, but just don't kill me." He said, "I'm not mad at you Americans. You're not mad at me." And he said, "You don't know me, and I don't know you. And just whatever you do, don't kill me." Well, I listened to this. I guess maybe it took us an hour to get back to our area. And he was very convincing. And then I remembered this incident that had happened where this man had done the same thing. So I turned around and I had to look him in the eyes. And I killed him. I wonder sometimes about that guy.
And what a story you're hearing from John DeFore. It's true that war is hell, and he's describing that hell in vivid detail. He was a part of it. He recalled that one story when U.S. troops were on an airfield that he was a part of seizing, only to find out that the Japanese had lured them into a trap. Snipers up high, marksmen dug in trenches. During that firefight, there was that chaplain offering him a vanilla wafer. And in the midst of combat, it eased Lieutenant DeFore's fears. And to this day, John told us, those vanilla wafers are still in his office. They're still close by. When we come back, more of John DeFore's story, a World War II veteran, a fellow Mississippian, here on Our American Stories.
Our 2022 iHeartRadio Jingle Ball, presented by Capital One.
Y'all ready to have some fun?
Starring Dua Lipa,
Lizzo,
Charlie Puth,
The Backstreet Boys,
The Kid LAROI,
AJR,
and more.
The biggest holiday party of the year.
Jingle Ball!
Our iHeartRadio Jingle Ball. Coming live from New York to the CW app and CWTV.com on December 9th.
When the world gets in the way of your music, try the new Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. Next-gen earbuds uniquely tuned to the shape of your ears. They use exclusive Bose technology that personalizes the audio performance to fit you, delivering the world's best noise cancellation and powerfully immersive sound, so you can hear and feel every detail of the music you love. Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. Sound shaped to you. To learn more, visit Bose.com.
Hey, you guys, this is Tori and Jenny with the 9021 OMG podcast. We have such a special episode brought to you by Nurtec ODT. We recorded it at iHeartRadio's 10th pole event, Wango Tango. Did you know that Nurtec ODT Remegipant 75 milligrams can help migraine sufferers still attend such an exciting event like Wango Tango? It's true. I had one that night and I took my Nurtec ODT and I was present and had an amazing time. Here's a little glimpse of our conversation with some of our closest friends. This episode was brought to you by Nurtec ODT Remegipant 75 milligrams. Life with migraine attacks can mean missing out on big moments with friends and family. But thankfully, Nurtec ODT Remegipant 75 milligrams is the only medication that is proven to treat a migraine attack and prevent episodic migraines in adults. So lively events like Wango Tango don't have to be missed.
And we return to our American stories and to the final portion of John DeFore's story. He told us a few tales about his time in the war and how he'd struggled with having to kill. In this final segment, he'll be talking about life after the war, his family, and his wife, Marion Sue, who was joining us during this interview. Well, you'll hear from them briefly in the end of this segment. Let's return to John with the rest of his story.
This girl, I had asked her to marry me 3 years earlier before I went overseas. She'd written me a letter every day. I didn't always get them. But I went to Sidon, Mississippi, and I was ready to get married the minute I hit Sidon. Of course, she kept talking about receptions and flowers and things like that, but I just wanted to go to the Justice of Peace. That didn't work. So we got married, and we drove from Sidon. I wanted to spend the night in the Peabody Hotel because that was where my mother and father spent their wedding night. And this is a little bit embarrassing, but we went to bed, and in the middle of the night, I had a nightmare. You know, they call it PTSD. PTSD is when you replay a bad scene in your mind and it controls your perception of reality. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I was screaming and cussing and fighting Japs like crazy. Man, they were just flooded over the walls and everything. And my wife is wide-eyed back leaning against the headboard saying, "What's the matter with you? Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? What in the world?" And I thought she was going to leave because she was absolutely terrified. Well, I was trying to explain what was the matter at 2 o'clock in the morning on my wedding night. It was very difficult there for a while. We almost got a divorce before daylight, but there was no JP there. But she finally got accustomed to him, and she could talk me down usually. There's an existential philosopher, I think it's Hans Selye, who made the statement, there's no difference between homicide and suicide. And I want to tell you, that's true, because you can't kill another human being. You can't cut a man's throat without injuring yourself. I promised myself when I was discharged from that hospital that I would never put on a uniform, carry a gun, or talk about the war. Ever. Man, Sue and I were working in Manila. We worked for Holiday Inns, and we worked mostly in the eastern area with China, Japan, and places like that. And one weekend, we had the weekend off, and we were in Manila, and I said, I want to see Corregidor. And so we got on the boat and we were going to Corregidor, and I'm sitting in the benches across the seats. The boat was just packed, and I'm sitting there, and I see this young man sitting next to me. He looked like he was younger, and I said, why are you going to see Corregidor? And he said, you really want to know? I could tell he was American. He said, you really want to know? And I said, yeah. He said, well, my father was over here during the war and said he never talked about the war. He never said a word about the war. And up to this time, I had never talked to anybody about the war, ever. And he looked at me and he said, do you have sons? I said, yeah, I have four sons. He said, have you talked about the war to your boys? And I said, no, never. He said, this is a total stranger. He said, promise me, as soon as you get home, you'll talk to your boys about the war. My daddy never talked about it, and I've always wondered about this big blank spot in his life. And he said, I'm over here trying to put together the little pieces that I found out about my daddy in the war, and I want you to promise me you'll talk to your sons. And I said, I promise, I didn't mean it. But we went on to Corregidor and looked around. Well, late that afternoon when we were coming back, I was out back watching the waves, and he came and found me. And I didn't even know his name. He said, you made me a promise. I said, I'll be damned. And he said, you didn't mean it. I said, no, I didn't. He said, I want a promise. He came the third time, I want a promise. And when I got home, I started talking about the war. I found that all four of my sons had nightmares about the war. What I had buried on my insides came out in their unconscious thinking. My sons are the four most beautiful men I've ever known. And they were very kind. And I could not have asked them to have reacted with more compassion and understanding. And I wished that I had started talking years earlier. But you know, I laugh and say funny that I know I'm half crazy, because of what I've been through, I couldn't be totally completely sane. But so far, I've been able to pass all the all the tests. William Tecumseh Sherman was a Union general during the war, led the troops all the way across Georgia, North Carolina, to the ocean. One day, talking to him, he gave us an often quoted phrase, war is hell. Every day you get up and you go hunting and you just look for somebody to kill all day long, and you kill them and you don't even bury them. You just walk off after you search them. And that's crazy. It is insanity. And I wish that the people who talk about war had to either send their children or go themselves. I hope if the man in Washington decides to protect us if China attacks Formosa or wherever we fight, I hope he'll send his son first. I have looked in the mirror and said, my God, God, are you that man? And I had to say yes. But I wasn't proud of it.
John.
What?
Everybody in this room has their freedom today because of what you did.
Yep.
And we are proud to say it.
Well, I'd rather it had been you than me. I'd congratulate
you. But we're proud of you.
Thank you.
And a special thanks to Madison Derricotte for producing that piece. And you heard John's family. Because John was breaking down, regretting what he'd done in the war, regretting having killed so many people. And they had to come in and just help him and save him from his own feelings of grief decades and decades later. And what a story he told. There's no difference between a homicide and a suicide, John said. You can't kill another human being without injuring yourself. The story of John DeFore, the story of war, the story of its aftermath, and the story of so much more here on Our American Stories.
Our 2022 iHeartRadio Jingle Ball, presented by Capital One.
Y'all ready to have some fun?
Starring Dua Lipa,
Lizzo,
Charlie Puth,
The Backstreet Boys,
The Kid LAROI,
AJR,
and more.
The biggest holiday party of the year.
Jingle Ball!
Our iHeartRadio Jingle Ball. Coming live from New York to the CW app and CWTV.com on December 9th.
When the world gets in the way of your music, try the new Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. Next-gen earbuds uniquely tuned to the shape of your ears. They use exclusive Bose technology that personalizes the audio performance to fit you, delivering the world's best noise cancellation and powerfully immersive sound, so you can hear and feel every detail of the music you love. Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. Sound shaped to you. To learn more, visit Bose.com.
So you never became a soccer star, but you could still show out during the FIFA World Cup 2022 with cool soccer swag from Frito-Lay, the official USA snack of the FIFA World Cup 2022. Look for the Golden World Soccer Ball, then pass the ball to fellow fans for a chance to score custom swag. Scan the QR code on specially marked bags of Lay's, Cheetos, or Doritos, or visit Frito-LayScore.com to join the Pass the Ball Challenge. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of 50 USDC. 18 plus. See rules at Frito-LayScore.com.